Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health and fitness. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to explore the controversial topic of Ozempic. If you know someone that's been taking it, or if you're considering taking it for yourself as a solution to weight loss, then this episode is for you. Join me this week as we uncover the truth about Ozempic. So last week, Oprah Winfrey posted a trailer to her Instagram page, which was seemingly in support of Ozempic and other injectables for weight loss. The post encouraged her 22.8 million followers to tune into a panel discussion entitled The State of Weight that would be hosted on her website, oprahdaily.com. The trailer points to the notion that obesity is a disease, and alongside a panel of carefully curated experts, she signals that this discussion is the beginning of the destigmatization and unshaming of weight loss injectables. Now, to say that I'm disappointed by Oprah openly promoting the use of weight loss injectables is an understatement. I watched the discussion in full. Oprah is declaring an unshaming of weight loss drugs, saying that it doesn't matter how you lose it. Although I have to say that I vehemently disagree with her attempt to promote and normalize the taking of new weight loss drugs for the general population. Now, the purpose of today's podcast is to provide some actual insight into what you, the public, needs to know. I've come up with 21 important things that you're going to want to know about. I'll be supporting the fundamental truths of what was said and raising hell on the red flags that came up for me during this panel discussion, because there were many. So let's get started. Number one, Oprah owns approximately 10 to 15% of Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers actually launched their own version of Ozempic called Sequence in March of 2023. So Oprah has a vested interest, in fact, a financial interest in the success and promotion of this product, as does her panel guest, Seema Sistani, the current CEO of Weight Watchers, who both stand to profit financially from the sales of Sequence, hence their positive promotion of it in this discussion. In an attempt not to lose market share together, Oprah and Weight Watchers are pivoting away from the promotion of Weight Watchers' point system to capitalize on the huge profits that pharmaceutical companies are enjoying as a result of hard selling these diabetes medications as a solution for weight loss. It's a timely and opportunistic change in ideals from both parties. Number two, this is not a conversation about health, as Weight Watchers CEO Seema Sistani suggests. It is, however, a conversation about appearance and the morality of taking drugs in order to improve one's appearance. If it were a conversation about health, then we wouldn't be focused on weight, but the type of metrics that accurately determine whether a person has obesity or not, such as body composition, which provides us with a body fat percentage when taking into consideration an individual's fat mass, muscle mass, bone density, and total body water relative to their weight. Number three, women with a body fat percentage of over 32% are considered obese, as are males who exceed 25% body fat. And these populations are the ones that are the most at risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes. These are the important metrics that you at home need to be aware of. So in this discussion, when Dr. Cody Stanford says that she refuses to give her clients a specific number, she's saying that because, number one, she knows that providing a weight goal for her clients would be arbitrary because weight alone is not an accurate predictor of overall health. And number two, she knows that getting her clients to understand why that's the case would require further explanation. So instead, she chooses to keep it vague and complicated to make you believe that she has the magic answer. And that magic answer, that number that Dr. Cody Stanford refuses to share with her fellow women, is sub 32% body fat. Now, number four, if you at home want to find out your body fat percentage, then you could use an at-home smart scale as a good starting point. Or even better, you could perform an in-body test like we do here at Slay. Make sure you measure yourself first thing in the morning before you eat anything and use the same scale, as results will vary from scale to scale. Number five, BMI and weight as a measure of obesity are inaccurate and outdated. Yet, doctors are still using these metrics. BMI leads to confusion and misinformation. The BMI calculation divides weight by height, and this results in tall people believing that they're fatter than they really are, and short people thinking that they're thinner than they really are. So if your doctor's using BMI, then that is a red flag. Ask for your body fat percentage, and if they can't give you that, then leave. So when Dr. Cody Stanford says that she wants to know all of the numbers like cholesterol, liver function, but chooses to omit the most important number of all, your body fat percentage, we can only assume she's doing so for her own benefit. Number six, recommending Ozempic for weight loss is like recommending steroids for muscle gain. You might be able to temporarily change your appearance, but that doesn't guarantee you'll be healthy. Taking steroids is an extreme step that a bodybuilder might take after intentional training and nutrition and exhausting all other options in order to gain more muscle. The reality is there are a lot of unsafe side effects that come with the pursuit of aesthetics that are completely unhealthy, even if they look really good in the process. This is evidenced by the number of bodybuilders who have died young from heart attacks. So just like you don't need to take steroids in order to gain muscle, you don't need to take Ozempic in order to lose fat. Both are extreme measures and can be detrimental to your health. Number seven, the short-term side effects that come with taking Ozempic are nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach cramps, and hair loss. Now, if you woke up in the morning with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach cramps, or hair loss, you'd assume that you were unwell. So why are we not connecting these side effects as sign of ill health? Dr. J mentions in the discussion that only 30% of people stay on Ozempic after 12 months, mainly because of the costs, although she doesn't go into detail as to what they are, $950 per pen per week, and the side effects, which she conveniently brushes past. Number eight, staying on the topic of side effects and safety concerns. When Ozempic was lab tested on rodents, those rodents developed thyroid tumors and thyroid cancer. On their website, Ozempic states that they do not know whether the drug causes thyroid tumors or thyroid cancer in humans because, quite frankly, who in their right mind would put themselves forward for a clinical test with these potential consequences? It does state, however, that those who already have medullary thyroid cancer, MTC, should avoid the drug. So we can only assume that given that they don't know whether these drugs cause tumours or cancer, that this is the clinical test. Not only is this the clinical test, pharmaceutical companies have convinced the general population to pay for it. So therefore, in this discussion, when one lady in the audience claims to have lost 100 pounds of weight on Ozempic, only to find her husband didn't share in her celebration or her feelings about her weight loss, I was shocked by Oprah's response. Rather than suggest that her husband might be concerned, she jumped straight to the narrative of unsupporting husband. She said that you want people who celebrate and rejoice in your victory, who celebrate and rejoice in your happiness, because it's a sign of clear envy and resentment when people are not happy for your happiness. But I think what's missing from this discussion is, number one, the voice of family and friends who would be right to be concerned about the health of those taking Ozempic for weight loss. And number two, an acknowledgement of the potential harmful and life-threatening side effects. Because the question that doesn't get answered through the 50-minute discussion with Oprah, but what is explained on the Ozempic website, is that they do not know whether these drugs are safe. Number nine, obesity is a brain-related disorder. Studies have shown that obesity can damage the brain's ability to recognize the sensation of fullness and be satisfied after eating fats and sugars. As a result, the brain lacks the chemical responses that tell the body that it has eaten enough. With obesity, the brain's normal function is disrupted by biological and environmental factors. In Oprah's panel discussion, Dr. Cody Stanford claims that obesity is a brain issue that is not reversible and not your fault. However, she doesn't mention what comes first. Is it an existing brain issue that causes us to have obesity, or is it obesity that causes us to develop a brain issue? I, for one, don't know, but I do strive to find out. Number 10, if obesity is in fact a brain issue, as Dr. Cody Stanford suggests, shouldn't we be screening for early detection? If we can identify genetic predispositions to obesity, we can prescribe preventative measures and information instead of medication. Number 11, Ozempic won't work for everyone. During the panel discussion, Dr. Cody Stanford reveals that Ozempic and similar drugs won't work for everybody because they're simply acting on the part of the brain that is dysfunctional. That's to say that of the 42% of the US population that are obese, not everybody has a brain issue. You'd think that this would be a prime opportunity to mention that 20 to 30% of our weight is influenced by environmental factors. So for those people, other preventative measures could help, such as calorie restriction and physical activity. Number 12, prevention of obesity is the best cure. Mark Schneeberg-Pané, a Spanish-born neurobiologist at Yale University, believes that we could curb the obesity epidemic for good. He claims that whilst this would be very complex at adult level, because obese individuals will need individualized therapy due to each person coming from a different environment, there is hope for young people, and where we can act to eradicate obesity is during childhood if we use preventative strategies for those that have a genetic or metabolic predisposition to weight gain. So therefore, body type is heritable, but genes are not destiny. Number 13, childhood obesity can be prevented. Studies have shown that babies born to mothers who have obesity when they become pregnant or that gain significant weight during pregnancy are at greater risk of developing obesity. Therefore, it's important to maintain healthy behaviors throughout pregnancy. Number 14, obesity is a chronic and relapsing disease, but it's also a disease that can be prevented and cured without the use of medical intervention, but with extreme change of environment and drastic shift in lifestyle habits. There are people out there who are doing it and who have done it. Number 15, Ozempic and similar drugs are designed for long-term use, thus creating drug dependency. Pharmaceutical companies thrive financially off of drug dependency. Therefore, there is no incentive for them to prescribe or promote preventative measures. So when people say take accountability for your health, they're not saying that obesity is your fault. What they're actually saying is that it's on your shoulders to educate, empower, and effectively adhere to your own treatment plan. There is no escaping the fact that improved nutrition and physical activity are necessary for anyone with obesity who is striving to improve their health, whether they're taking Ozempic or not, as is echoed by Dr. J in this very discussion. Number 16, the average results for a patient who takes Ozempic for 40 weeks is between 19 to 14 pounds of weight loss, not fat loss, weight loss. Fat loss clients at Slay enjoy up to 1 pound of fat loss a week, which comes about as a result of adherence to nutritional guidance and expert training. One of my clients has actually lost 20 pounds of total weight in 28 weeks, 8 pounds of which was fat, all whilst enjoying a trip to Paris this summer. Number 17, comments like this are not useful, Oprah. If I ate apple pie at 11 p.m. at night, I'd wake up having gained 2 pounds. It's actually possible to eat apple pie at 11 p.m. and wake up leaner. If you build muscle or retain water overnight, you could actually wake up 2 pounds heavier, but with less body fat. Somebody take her microphone. Number 18, obesity is in fact calories in versus calories out, despite what psychologist Dr. Rachel claims on the panel discussion. I'm not saying that achieving a negative energy balance is going to be easy or simple depending on your individual situation, but it is scientifically proven to work. Number 19, comments like this are also not useful, Dr. Rachel. If you're eating well and moving your body and the number on the scale doesn't change, you're bound to feel frustrated. Well, if you're eating well and moving your body and the number on the scale doesn't change, then don't be alarmed. You could well be gaining lean muscle mass and reducing your body fat mass. But unless you have a scale that measures your body composition, you'll never know. Number 20, high protein diets have been proven to be extremely effective at assisting fat loss, as protein helps you to feel fuller for longer, meaning that you're less likely to snack on high calorie foods. Therefore, if you're interested in losing fat or sustaining fat loss, then the second most important thing after adhering to a calorie deficit is making sure that your protein intake is high. Aim for 1 gram of protein per pound of your current body weight. Therefore, if you weigh 150 pounds, your target protein intake would be 150 grams. I'm surprised that with a panel of 4 so-called experts, none of them mention the important role that protein has to play on dietary adherence. Number 21. Ozempic slows digestion, signaling to the brain that the stomach is still full and therefore reducing calorie intake. Some people have reported stomach paralysis while taking Ozempic due to the slowed motility of the digestive tract. This is not the only serious issue that has come up recently in the press that has been linked to Ozempic. There have been a small but not insignificant number of people who have reported suicidal thoughts whilst taking the drug. In summary, I think what is getting convoluted in this panel discussion is whether Oprah is having a conversation about health or the morality of taking drugs for weight loss. I think we can all agree that this is not a conversation about health, and that there is no shame in anybody wanting to lose fat in order to improve their overall lifestyle and longevity. What is questionable, however, is whether it's okay to promote and profit from the use of diabetes medication to improve one's appearance, whilst at the same time failing to acknowledge the serious and potentially life-threatening side effects associated with them. Oprah was, in fact, not ready for this conversation, and the panel of experts were misleading and biased. It was very clear to me, however, that whilst they may not have been ready for the conversation, they were ready for the promotion. Now, what I want you at home to remember is that your bodies are not broken. They are extremely adaptable. Don't allow yourself to be distracted or disempowered by those that stand to profit financially from your ignorance or ill health. When it comes to obesity, the best cure is prevention, and the best medicine is information. There are so many women like you out there who are managing and curing themselves of obesity every single day. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that you won't have to work harder than others for it. You will have to advocate for yourself at every turn with your healthcare providers. But I am telling you that it can be done. We look forward to providing you with more information about how to lose fat without taking Ozempic really soon. But until then, if you have any questions, feel free to DM me directly. That concludes this episode of Slay. Remember to advocate for yourself and your health at every turn, because obesity does not have to be your destiny. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on health and fitness. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media. You can check out Slay Brand at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify. And you can get all of the tools and resources that were mentioned in today's episode in the Slay app. And if you haven't already, download the Slay app now for free from the App Store and join our online community.